The following is a recording of the Sunday morning service of Rangeville Community Church.
You know when you meet someone and you start a conversation, how long is it before that question comes up of, what do you do? So often that's one of the first questions or the second or third or fourth questions you get asked. Oh, what do you do for a living? Oh, I'm an engineer or I'm a teacher. So I sometimes get asked, well, what do you do? And I say, I'm a minister. For some that causes a really bewildered look. And they go, oh, you're like a pastor? I had one person that said to me, you mean you're a priest? I've got others that go, you're a what? Because you see, in our society, it depends on what church experience you've had growing up, or maybe you've had no church experience at all, that you have no idea what minister, pastor, priest actually means. What we want to do in this series at the moment is remove the titles and start to have an understanding of what it actually means to fulfill what these words are speaking of. So last week we looked at the position of pastor, and we saw that it actually means shepherd. A pastor is someone who is called to shepherd the sheep. That is, called to care for people. They're called to care for people, they're to find spiritually lost people, they are to bind up the injured and lead them to a safe place. And we saw last week that all followers of Jesus Christ are called to be pastors in their community. Well, today we want to look at the role of a priest, because just like a pastor is called to pastor the community, a priest is someone who is called to minister into their community. And every Christian is called to be a pastor and a priest. It's not a case of you're a pastor or you're a priest. We're called to be both, to minister in both these different ways into our community. And see, there's that other word I just used, that's minister. The word minister actually means to serve. And so a minister is someone who serves the people that are before them. And in the case of a minister to the community, we are called to minister into our community, to serve our community. So today, as we seek to understand the role of the priest, let's go back into the Old Testament and see who the first priests were. And to do that, we actually go right back to Genesis chapter 1 and 2. Because if we go right back to the very beginning, we see that God created the Garden of Eden, and it was a sanctuary. It was a sanctuary of God's presence, or a temple of the kingdom of God. Because we know that a temple is the intersection between heaven and earth. A temple is a place where God dwells. And so we know that God dwelt on earth in the Garden of Eden. We know that because he walked in the garden. It says that he talked with Adam and Eve in the garden. And so if God is walking in the garden and he is talking in the garden, then we see that God was dwelling there in the garden. And interestingly, that aspect about God walking in the garden, which you see in Genesis 3:8, is the same words that talks about God walking in the tabernacle in Leviticus 26. I'll put my dwelling place among you, and I will not abhor you. I will walk among you and be your God, and you will be my people. And so there we see God walking in the tabernacle in the same way as previously he had walked in the Garden of Eden. So if the Garden of Eden was a temple, then it needed a priest. So it made sense that God would put Adam into the garden to care for the sanctuary. And so in Genesis chapter 2, it says this, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it." Now the word work there in the original language of Hebrew was abad. And abad means to work. God put Adam into the garden to work it and take care of it. That word abad is in some translations translated as a word cultivate or till. And so you'll see sometimes it says that God put Adam into the garden to till the garden, to work it and take care of it. But we also see that that same word work or abad means to work in the service of someone. So we see this really significantly when Jacob is in love with Rachel. And he says to her dad, Laban, I'll work for you 7 years in return for your younger daughter, Rachel. So here he's saying, I will work in the service of you in order that I may marry Rachel. Interestingly, same word, abad. Now, the same word, abad, is used in another context. It's used as the word worship. Because we see here in Exodus 3 verse 12, and God said, I will be with you, and this will be a sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. The word worship is the same word. So here we see this same word used to describe what it means to work in the sanctuary of the Garden of Eden, to work in the service of someone, and to worship. All of these are expressions of the same word, to worship. And so we see then that Adam's role in the Garden of Eden was much more than tilling the soil. He was present in the garden to maintain and care it, to work in the service of God as an act of worship. That's the role of a priest. That's the priestly role that Adam was fulfilling through this word abad that we see here in the Old Testament. But interestingly, we now see a very similar word, a related word, which is used to describe the role of the priests and the Levites in the tabernacle in Numbers chapter 3. It says they are to perform the duties for him and for the whole community at the tent of meeting by doing the work of the temple. They are to take care of all the furnishings of the tent of meeting, fulfilling the obligation to the Israelites by doing the work of the tabernacle. The word here is abda'ah. So in other words, it's a related word to what we saw earlier, to work for, to worship. And so if we apply what we're seeing in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, that the Garden of Eden is a temple, then Adam's role as a priest is to serve and worship God. He's living in his presence where God dwells. He is walking and talking with God. And he is to see the kingdom of God in the Garden of Eden flourish. That was Adam's role. But sadly, we know that the holiness and the perfection of the Garden of Eden was not to last forever, because it was damaged by sin, and the perfect relationship that God had with Adam and Eve was broken. But God still desired his people to know him. God still desired that special relationship with humanity. And so once the Israelites had left Egypt, he called them to then build a tabernacle and subsequently a temple. And many of the elements that we see in the tabernacle and in the temple are based on what you see in the Garden of Eden, and also what we see described as the heavenly temple in the books of Ezekiel and Revelation. And so what we saw was that when the Israelites were traveling in the desert, the tabernacle was in the center and the 12 tribes would be around it. When we see the temple built in the middle of Jerusalem on Temple Mount, and then the city established around it. So in other words, it symbolizes God dwelling in the midst of his people, whether that was them camping or whether that was in their capital city. But how could God dwell in the midst of his people when they were sinful? How was that possible? Well, you see, this is why God brought the Aaronic priesthood into place. The Aaronic priesthood means those who were the descendant of Moses' brother Aaron. Aaron, who was the first high priest. So if we are to find the role of a priest now, we see it is the intermediary between God and people. The one who is between God and people, whose role it is to bring people to God. And so one of the primary roles of the priest is to come before God on behalf of the people to deal with the consequences of their sin. And so in the Old Testament, we see that that was done through a sacrificial system. The sacrificial system involved the sacrifice of an animal. And that was revealing God's justice and grace. Justice, because it showed that God had to deal justly with sin. He had to deal with the consequences of the sins of the people. But it also revealed God's grace, because it showed God's unmerited favor and love as creating a way to bring people back to Him, that their sin would be dealt with, that they'd be restored back in relationship with Him. Now, as you read through the books, particularly of Leviticus, you'll see there's many different sacrificial systems, sacrifices that are being offered, a whole range. But if we look at the two of the primary purposes of those sacrifices, we see here that they were, first of all, a reminder to people of the significance of their sin. It was reminding them of the impact of their sin. And yet, instead of the person dying for their sin, an animal's death would be substituted in that person's place. And the shedding of blood of the animal would cover over the sins of the people. So this idea of sacrifice and reminding of sin is seen in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 3. But instead, those sacrifices actually reminded them of their sins year after year. That was an important part of the sacrificial system. A second role of the sacrifice was that the blood represents life. Because without blood, you cannot live. Blood is absolutely essential for life. So when the animal was killed, the blood would be collected, and then it would be used to purify the person or the temple and its furnishings, etc., from the presence of sin. And so in that way, because the person or the temple was purified from its sin, then God would dwell. He would be present in that place. We see this described in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 21 and 22. And in the same way, he sprinkled blood on the tabernacle and on everything used in worship. In fact, according to the law of Moses, nearly everything was purified with blood. For without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. And so we see now that one of the key roles of the priest was to offer sacrifices that in truth reminded people of the consequences of their sin, but in grace purified them of their sin to bring them into a place of forgiveness and relationship with God. So the sacrifices were a really important first role of those Aaronic priests. A second role was that they would pray for the people. The priest would talk with God about the needs of the people and advocate on their behalf. And we see this repeated throughout scriptures as the priests prayed for the people as they sinned. We see this in 1 Samuel 12:19. The people all said to Samuel, "Pray to the Lord your God for your servants, so that we will not die. For we have added to all our other sins the evil of asking for a king." So the people, realizing what they had done, come to the priest and say to the priest, "Would you be the intermediary between us and God? Would you be the advocate for us before the Lord? Would you pray for us to the Lord?" We see the role of the priest was also to release God's blessings onto the people, to bless the people. The word bless means to take someone from where they are to where God intended them to be. It's to release God's favor, calling that person up to where God desires them to be. And the role of the priest was to speak words of blessing out over the people. Again, if we look at Aaron, we see here it's this famous blessing called the Aaronic blessing. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace." These beautiful words given to the priest to bless the people. A third role, we've seen the sacrificial role. We've seen the role of praying to God on behalf of the people. A third role was the area of healing. Now, in the Old Testament, the priests were not necessarily responsible for the healing of the people, but they were responsible for pronouncing healing. for declaring when someone was healed. And so we see this, an example of this is Leviticus 14. The priest, when a leper comes to them, the priest determines if that person is cleansed or healed of leprosy. And so it says, in this way, the priest will make atonement before the Lord on behalf of the one to be cleansed. So what we're just seeing now is the role of these Aaronic priests. So from the time the tabernacle was first established through to the time of Jesus, we're seeing that the role of these priests was to offer sacrifices, it was to pray and bless, it was to confirm healings. But the problem was that they could not deal with the root cause of the problems in their community, because they could not deal with sin comprehensively. Because only God could do that. And God did do that. God did that through sending his son, Jesus Christ. And there are many different roles that we could ascribe to Jesus Christ. But one of those is that he did come as a priest. He came as the great high priest. We see this in Hebrews 4. Therefore, we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. So we now see that Jesus was the great high priest. And we're going to see that he offered sacrifice, that he prayed and blessed, and that he healed. So first, Jesus came to deal with sin. He came as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He came as the Lamb of God who would be the sin offering himself to deal with our sin once and for all. We see in Hebrews 7:27, unlike the other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once and for all when he offered himself. Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice who offered himself for the sins of us all once and for all. Jesus defeated the power of sin and death through his death on the cross, so that we can be restored back into relationship with God our Father. And earlier we saw that sacrifices were important for the covering over of a person's sin, for purifying that person of their sins. That's what's available to us through the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God. How beautiful is that picture and that reality. Through Jesus' sacrificial death, we are cleansed and purified of sin, that we may serve God where he calls us to. Now, we've seen that there's a second role of the priests. The second role of the priest is to pray to God the Father on behalf of the people. And again, we see Jesus praying for those around him. His prayer ministry is described really eloquently in Hebrews 5:7, when it says, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Jesus spent so much time in prayer on behalf of the people. On the night of his arrest, he was in the Garden of Gethsemane praying for the people, in that beautiful prayer recorded in John 17. And then the third aspect of the role of priest is that of healing. And we see Jesus' ministry of healing. And that was about restoring people back to the way God intended them to be. That's what he was doing. He's releasing the kingdom of God, that people's lives would be transformed back towards what God had originally intended for them, in health, in wellness. Jesus' ministry of healing was a large part of what he did, whether it was the blind seeing, the deaf hearing, the lame walking, whether it was the lepers cleansed, those who were oppressed by demons being released and set free, whether it was the dead being raised back to life. Jesus was restoring people's lives back to what God intended. And communities were blessed because of the healing ministry of Jesus Christ in the community. But you see, the ministry of priesthood was not limited to the Old Testament. It did not stop through Jesus Christ's death as our great high priest. But as followers of Jesus Christ, we are called to continue in the ministry of priests. And the Apostle Peter draws on the words of God which were spoken to the people of Israel when Peter wrote, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light." See, we're called to be a royal priesthood. We are called as royal parts of the royal priesthood, as priests, we are called to live sacrificially. We are called to continue to pray and bless. We are called to continue to bring healing into people's lives. We are called to be priests in our communities today. And let's just look at two things that reinforce this idea that we are called to be priests in our community. And the first of these is, we see this verse from 1 Peter 2. It says, "Dear friends," we looked at this just 2 weeks ago, and this verse just flows on from the verse that said, you know, you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Two verses later, we now read this: "Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits." So here is Peter declaring that we are part of a royal priesthood, and then two verses later he's saying, "Live such good lives among the pagans." As priests, you are not to be isolated from your community. As priests, you are to live such good lives among the pagans that they see the witness of who you are. They see the good deeds that you practice. And in turn, at the right time, they will glorify God because of it. A second thing really struck me when I was reading through Numbers chapter 3, verse 7. That's the verse that was describing the role of the Levites. And the Levites, who are also descendants from the tribe of Levi, of which Aaron was also from the tribe of Levi, and it says they are to perform duties for him. Him is the high priest. In that case, it was Aaron, but it was true for all subsequent generations. Those who were Levites were to perform duties for the high priest and for the whole community. We often forget that part. The role of the priest is not just serving the high priest, it is also for the whole community. This is a challenge that's placed before us. We are called to minister in our community, living such good lives among the pagans, and we are also to minister for our great high priest, Jesus, and in our community in which he has placed us. So what's that look like? How do we do that? Well, again, let's look at these same steps. The first of those is sacrificially. We are called to live sacrificially. It's no longer the sacrifices of bulls and lambs. It's living sacrificially for the glory of God and the good of our community. Romans 12:1, this famous verse, says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." See, we are the recipients of God's undeserved grace and mercy through which our sins are dealt with because of the death of Jesus Christ. We are restored back into relationship with God our Father, and our response should be that we offer all of ourselves up to God, all of us. And while it says there, offer your bodies, the commentaries would say that the word bodies there is actually referring to all of who you are. Body, soul and spirit. And as well as that, your interactions with the world around you. Offer all of who you are and all of the way you interact with the world around you as a living sacrifice is the way that is interpreted. So in other words, we are called to live as followers of Jesus Christ wherever we are. You see, ministry is not an additional thing that you do. It's not an additional thing that you have to find extra hours in your week to do. Ministry is who you are. It's part of who you are. It's what you do in the things that you are already doing. Finding opportunities to serve others right where you are in what you are already doing. It's not about doing more, it's about doing what you do from a Christ-centered approach. Where Christ is the very center of who you are and what you do. See, after all, we know that when we choose to follow Jesus Christ, we become a temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is already dwelling in you. And wherever you go, you have the opportunity to release the presence of God right there, right where you are. As a temple of the Holy Spirit, you are a priest in the kingdom of God. You get the privilege to release the kingdom of God right where you are, to reveal God's presence by being people of love, of truth, of grace and mercy. And while Hebrews 12 tells us to be a living sacrifice, Hebrews 13 tells us another aspect of living sacrificially. It says this in verses 15 and 16, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. See, again, this is talking about living in the midst of the pagans around about you, ministering to your community, as we saw from Numbers 3. We are called now to do good and share with others in our community. That our lifestyle is a sacrifice that makes God pleased. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased. God calls us to pray for people and with people. God calls us to spend time in prayer, praying for people in trouble, singing songs of praise, praying for others to be healed. This is described in James chapter 5. If anyone among you is anyone among you in trouble, let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. If anyone is sick among you, let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. There's the healing. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. That's the sacrificial aspect. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other, so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And so just in that passage, we're now seeing these three roles of the priest, the sacrificial role, the prayer role, and the healing role is all combined beautifully together as we're called to pray. See, praying with people, praying for people is a really important part of what we are called to do. And as we've looked at in the previous weeks, I encourage you to pray daily for those in your home, to pray daily for those in your workplace, and to pray daily for those in your community, that they might experience a revelation through you or others of God's love and truth and grace and mercy. And again, I'd say to you, prayer is not just a set block of time. Prayer also includes those short breath prayers where you go, God, help me. Because you're in the middle of doing something and you need his help. And it might be that you're in the middle of a conversation with someone and you're saying, I don't know what to say next. God, help. God, this person is crying. They're weeping. What do I do? Do I stay silent or do I speak? That's prayer. And those prayers are powerful. Those prayers are effective. Those prayers are important. You see, from James chapter 5, we see that we're called to pray for healing. And I'd encourage you, do not limit this just to physical healing. Because in our community, there are many people who are able-bodied, who are struggling with mental health. There are many in our community who are able-bodied and are struggling with emotional health. And there are people who are in unhealthy relationships that need to move forwards. And as a priest in our community, you are uniquely placed in the community that you are in to bring hope and healing into that community, into the lives of those people. See, as we saw earlier in Numbers 3, we are called as a priest to serve our great high priest and our community. That's the role of the priest. And so living as a priest in the community is not a title. It's part of who God's called you to be. You are called because you are part of a royal priesthood. You are called to offer up sacrifices of prayer and praise to God, knowing that as you pray and as you praise, you can shift atmospheres. You can shift things around you spiritually because you bring the presence of Jesus into that place. As a priest in your community, you are called to bring healing and hope into our community by revealing the love and the truth and the grace and mercy of God. And when you're living like that as a priest, you are releasing the kingdom of God. Because you see, this is about kingdom and community. And so let's take a minute now. And just in silence, say, God, what are you saying to me today? I'm part of a royal priesthood. How does that work out? Lord God, as we reflect on what it means to be priests, we want to thank you that this is possible because of the Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest. Thank you for his sacrificial life and death, through which he dealt with sin once and for all. Thank you that we model ourselves on Christ to live sacrificially, to pray for those around about us. That Father God, through prayer, we would know you more. We'd be able to advocate for those around about us, that we would be between you and our community, Lord, praying for our community to come to know you. That, Lord, that we are trusted, privileged with the gift of healing in many different ways, whether that be physical, whether that be emotional, whether that be spiritual, whether that be in people's physical health or mental health or emotional health or circumstances. That, Lord, you call us to be ministers, priests of hope and healing in our society. That people's lives would be changed from where they are to more of what you intended them to be. Lord God, I pray that you would send your people out to minister as priests, wherever you've placed them, bless them right there. That they would discover it's not about having to do more, but it's doing everything from a Christ-centered approach right where they are. That they would bring you into the very aspects of what they do, the very essence of what they do. Come, Father God, and bless your people. And so as we finish today, I just want to speak out that high priestly blessing over all of you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.
That concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 0746 36 1144, or you can email us office@rangeville.com.